visiting with us today. We began a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to work our way through this great gospel. And this morning, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 39, and we're going to read down through verse 56. As we're turning and finding our places here, I forgot to announce Awana, and I don't know how I could forget to announce that. If it starts tonight, we need your help. If you've not yet signed up to be a helper, a listener, a teacher, a volunteer of any sort, please do that. And let's get our support behind Holly as she leads us tonight. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse number 39. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for this humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned home. Lord, thank you for this reading. Thank you for these words. Thank you for Dr. Luke as he's recording for us information that other gospel writers don't include. Thank you for giving us this full picture. Now help us this morning as we listen, as we worship with our ears, as we open our hearts to hear what you want to teach us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we shared the Annunciation. It's the second greatest message ever given by an angel, and Gabriel was the one to give that message. The first and greatest of all the messages, I think, that has ever been delivered by an angel is found in Luke 24:6, where the angel said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." That's wonderful news for us. Well, our story this morning begins in verse 39. I do not plan on finishing this today because the Magnificat is in and of itself something we need to focus on. But I want to get us started. And I want us to see, first of all, I'm just going to break this up into 3 or 4 bite-sized parts where we can think about it. And I want you to walk with me through this narrative. As I told you, this type of sermon, when you go through a narrative like this, it's just like reading the verses, making some observations, and then thinking about those observations and allow God to teach us as we journey. So first of all, let's look at verse 39 at the journey. It says, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah. Now we know that approximately it's 80 to 100 miles from her to go from her home there in Nazareth down south, a little southwest of Jerusalem, into an area called the hill country. this journey. It says she's in a hurry. Why do you think she's in a hurry? I began to think about that this week. And you know, this is really something for this girl. She's a teenager. We pretty well believe that. Is she going by herself 80 or 100 miles? Now, in that day, it wouldn't be unheard of, but it seems more likely that maybe she got with a caravan or something. I mean, she is going to have to go through Jericho, and that is still today an unfriendly place. So in this journey, she's in a hurry, but why is she in a hurry? And I think I've discovered the answer. And I think I've discovered this, and I want to read to you something that this lady wrote. And the reason why I believe that she's in a hurry is because women need to talk or they will explode. Not the real bang, but for many it feels that way. Talking is a way to release pressure. If talking is not possible for women or girls, the pressure goes up. Women like to talk. That's why women often have several female friends, so they can talk for hours and lower their mental pressure. They want to get it out of their system. Women don't mind talking to men, but most men are not very good at listening to women, especially when it is talk about nothing. Most men do not want to listen for hours for what has happened during the day. If they don't have a problem with listening, they like it short and to the point. Men are really not capable of hearing the very long version of what happened at the grocery store. Sorry, ladies, I know you're going to hate me, but a woman wrote this. But women want to blow off steam like a pressure cooker. Talking is lowering their mental pressure. The talking itself is more important than what she's talking about. Now, I do have a reason for bringing this here, because think about it. Who could Mary tell in Nazareth? Nobody. She couldn't tell her parents. What would her dad say? What would he think? She couldn't tell any of her friends in Nazareth, because if the word got out, nobody is going to believe that this woman is with child and she hasn't been with a man. She needed to talk. She couldn't even talk to Joseph. Why, we see what Matthew records about what Joseph did when he found this out. And as I understand, she stayed with Elizabeth 3 months, which means she's 3 months showing, and she goes back home and Joseph is going to divorce her. And then an angel spoke to him in a dream and said, no, this is a God thing. So I believe that basically the journey here, she needed to talk. And she needed to get to her cousin or her near relative. And that's exactly what we see. Well, secondly, let's look at the location, her destination. It says the hill country to a city of Judah. Now, I have a slide to show you, because I wanted you to see sort of an idea of where this woman traveled. There she is in Nazareth, and she's coming down. She's bypassing Samaria, as most often Jews did. And then she's coming through Jericho over to Jerusalem. And then Joshua mentions 9 cities of the hill country. We don't know the name of the city. Scholars have debated this issue, what the city is, but some interesting observations about that. Dr. Lightfoot believes that the city where she found her destination there at Elizabeth and Zachariah's house was in Hebron. And maybe she even conceived there on the journey. Abraham had his first land in Hebron, David his first crown. And buried there in that hill country is Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, Leah. And tradition even says, Jewish tradition says, that Adam and Eve are buried in that hill country in Hebron. So it could be. It's not really that important exactly to know. But you know, as I was thinking about this journey, and I was thinking about her getting to her destination, for us, it's just no problem, right? We we Google it, and then we put it in the map, and when we GPS it, and we get to where we're going. But how do you find someone's house in the hill country? How do you know what their address is? There's not a post office. I mean, how is she going to get there? And it even gets funny to me as I think about, well, people would know where he lived because Zacharias was the news of the town. Remember? Remember that he disbelieved the angel, and the angel says, well, fine, no speaky for you. So this man, I believe he also lost his hearing because in verse 64, I believe it is, whatever verse it is, they were making gestures to him. When they asked, what are you going to name this child? They could have, you know, he would have written it down if he could hear, but they were making gestures to him. So she probably had no problem finding the priest's house who couldn't speak, who couldn't hear, and God had done something in a vision in the temple. As I think about this subject, God provides the places we need and the people we need as he uses us for his purpose. I hope you have discovered this, that when you travel, God has divine appointments for us wherever we are, if we just have the eyes to see it and the ears to hear it. If God is going to use us, he's going to provide the journey. He's going to provide whatever we need for that purpose. God does what we can't do, but the journey is ours to walk, to fulfill it, to work out our difficulties, to never give up and surrender. To keep, as the scripture says, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And this young woman making this 80 to 100 mile trek, thinking all the time, and this is going to take her 5 or 6 days. If she's in a caravan, maybe 3 days. But she has a lot of time to think and pray and wonder and trust. And I just believe that the location is a very, very important thing. And you know, when you think about it, this was Mary's alibi, which is what God provided her, because it makes perfect sense. She's going to care for her cousin or near relative on the last trimester of her pregnancy. So it wouldn't even raise any attention that she wanted to spend 3 months away. Now let's look at, next, the meeting. Because as she went in a hurry, we know why she was in a hurry, right, ladies? And she's going to a city of Judah. We know approximately where that is. Hebron is a good enough guess for me. And here's the meeting. She entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. The house of Zacharias. She greeted Elizabeth. And as soon as Elizabeth heard her words, the Spirit of God filled her life. And we read these verses. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is, it's the greatest evidence when we are saved. The greatest evidence of the Holy Spirit is not signs, wonders, miraculous, and all the other things. The greatest evidence of the Holy Spirit taking residence in my heart is for me to recognize Jesus as Lord. Look what happens here. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb, and how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 3. Paul is writing here in this 12th chapter, and he says in verse 3, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." You can be a nominal Christian. You can be a baptized nominal Christian. You can go to Sunday school. You can say all the words. You can do all of that and still not be a true believer. If the Spirit of God has not indwelt your heart, if He is not allowing you to grow in your love and relationship to Jesus, and that's what He does. You say, why do I love Jesus? Because the Holy Spirit of God has given me that ability in my heart to recognize Him, to love Him, to desire Him. A person that does not have the Holy Spirit is not saved, maybe religious. Without the quickening of the power of God, no one can come, would come. And when a person is resisting God's call to repent, and God has given every single one of us that call to repent, to live in repentance. When a person refuses to surrender to Jesus, the Bible describes that person as rebellious, wicked, sinful, and depraved, clinging to a self-made life without any cure. It's just like drinking poison and thinking other people will get sick. No, if you don't have the Spirit of God, if He has not filled you and saved you, then my friends, you can't recognize Jesus. You may know about Him and you may be a fan. You know, we went through that study. But I don't want to be a fan of Jesus. I want to follow Him. And I fail at that, and you fail at that, and we get back up and we start over, and we want to follow Him, and we desire to, because the Spirit of God is speaking in our hearts. Well, exactly we see what happens when the Spirit of God fills the heart. Joy is the end result. Incredible joy. Now look at what it says in verse 41. The baby leaped in her womb. And then it says in the next verse, the baby leaped for joy in her room, in her womb. Go with me to Psalm 98. And I hope today, as you were singing, I hope that you were joyously singing. And I know it's hard sometimes to take our problems, our worries, what's staring at us, and to enter His joy. But this is a beautiful psalm. I want to read all 9 verses. And you just listen. This should be what happens when the Holy Spirit takes charge of our life. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. As a result, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. Sounds like instruments are in church here. With trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains. And you know what? When you visit the ocean, and some of you have already on vacation, when you stand out there and you hear the surf, it is both scary and amazing. The sound of it, the incredible sound of it. And what a beautiful metaphor this is to describe to us how to praise the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord. For He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. I believe that the joy that we see happening in this infant's life, this little baby's life, this 6 months old life, John the Baptist, I think that we can draw that conclusion that he was jumping for joy because the Christ child was already in Mary's womb. And both of them were real and alive and a person. I don't know how we could say otherwise. Well, it's just a little footnote here. It's interesting that John the Baptist, before he was born, recognized Jesus. And he did. He leaped for joy in his mother's womb. But then later, in John chapter 3 and verse 29, when Jesus came walking up to John, John didn't know who he was. He didn't recognize him. And so for a period of time, the distance grew and they didn't keep in touch. And John didn't even recognize him until God opened his eyes to do so. I just thought that was interesting. Jesus often held back from being recognized if it wasn't God's purpose and plan at that time. Well, fourthly, let's look at the message. And let's listen to Elizabeth as she gives us this message. Verse 42. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women." Please notice that it does not say above women, but among women. We do not believe that Mary had an immaculate conception in her birth. We do not believe that Mary was anything more than a chosen vessel for God. Yes, she's blessed in the sense that God mercied her. And all generations will say that. And it's certainly right for us to call her the Blessed Mother. But friends, Mary is a sinner, just like us. And so here in this passage, this message is not lifting her up to the status that the Romanists say that Mary can command authority over her son. We don't believe these things, and we don't believe you can get it from this text. But she cried out and she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." And this word for leaping is a word that means it's an enthusiastic joy. "The sound of your greeting reached my ears. The baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Now she asked this question. She says, "Why am I so favored?" You know, humble people ask that kind of question. Proud people, it doesn't really dawn on them that God has blessed them apart from their hard work and labor. But humble people thank God. They wake up thanking God and being marveled at the grace that God has given us. Friend, if you're complaining to God about something, maybe you need to think of the thousands of homes lost in Louisiana, in California, lives lost, people without any place to go, people without any means to recover what they've lost. I don't know what that would be like. It would be such a desperation. The shelters, I'm told, all over are full. Are we as a church helping that disaster in Louisiana or California? And the answer is yes. Many of us are. If you are a contributor here and one of our offering boxes in this back receives the gifts from you, our church, all of that money that's collected, a percentage of that money goes to a big pot. And out of that big pot, the Southern Baptists draw funds to help disasters. Yes, if you're a contributor here, you're contributing to the help of Louisiana today and next week and every time that you give. We are, in that sense, in our missions giving here. I love that about the Southern Baptist churches. I love the fact that it's spread out and that we can be a part of it. And maybe some of us can be hands-on with some of those things. Well, the way this passage ends, She's recognizing the faith that Mary had. Mary, in receiving the words from the angel, in making the journey, setting up residence for 3 months at Elizabeth's house, I'm sure to help her with the baby. We're not told she remained there until John the Baptist was born. But ladies, what do you think? Do you think that she would have left right before the baby's birth? I don't think so. I think Mary, and she went through that process and maybe even learned and took notes. And can you imagine the conversation that her and Elizabeth had? Elizabeth was much older than her. So what a great time for them. And she's recognizing here her faith. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. It all comes back to faith. Your life comes back to faith. Everything is faith. Our salvation is faith. Our careers, wherever it takes us, it's taking a step of faith. I just talked to a man this last week trying to decide, should I take this job or should I take this job or should I do this? And I just told him, I said, I don't know what your situation is, but I know this. Whatever it is you decide, you need to do so in faith. You have to take that step and you have to move forward without second guessing all the time. And that's what I see here in her life is faith. We've got to take our health by faith, right? I mean, we're trying to do the best we can. Some of us are trying to walk. Some of us are trying to cut back on potato chips and whatever else it is. We're trying to work at this. But when it comes down to it, friends, it's faith. And this week, if you go to get your checkup or you have a sudden pain and you go and you get terrible news, what will you do with that news? I hope that your faith will stand up to it and say, Lord, whatever your will is, not mine, but your will. Our children, faith. Our grandchildren, faith. Yesterday, I had a lapse in my faith and I felt really, still really feel bad about it. I got a phone call from Connie. She was traveling, going back to take our granddaughter back. And my daughter's newborn had 104, 105 temperature. They were rushing her to the ER. And when I got that news, it's almost like my faith didn't exist. And I don't know why. I guess it's an emotional type of thing, but I just started, you know, asking God for mercy and grace and to help the doctor and to help little Gwyneth. And I don't know, my faith was in that moment was shaken. And about 4 hours later, we got good news, good report, no big deal. But it really was a big deal. But faith is the answer to that fear. And God has revealed to me that oftentimes in some situations, my faith is very, very small. And I want it to grow. Well, when we look at this story and we see these events, I hope God will teach you. And I hope God will allow you as we walk through next Lord's Day, this beautiful song from Mary. And as we hear her pour her soul out to him, that you be reading that this week and be getting ready to see what God wants to teach us. Now this morning, as we listen to this quiet music, just for a moment or two, may I extend to you the offer to repent of your sins and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. That's what we believe, and God saves. And so this morning, if you're willing to repent, if you're willing to trust him and believe him, then we'll just pray together. And then we would invite you, if you pray and ask Jesus to save you, we would invite you to follow in believer's baptism. And then follow in uniting with the church and getting busy with living your life on that journey for him. We will be praying.